Hey again, welcome and thank you for being a part of our services today. LifePoint Church, you guys doing all right today? All right, good. You ready to get into the Word and learn some stuff from the Lord's Word today? 17 people. Great. Thanks for the rest of you. Just hang on. We'll get you out of here soon enough. Hey, welcome to LifePoint. My name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor, especially if you are our guest today. We want to say a big welcome to you, LifePoint. One more time, can we give it up for our guest today? Welcome, 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 welcome. We're so glad you're here. Also, everybody joining us online through our live stream, or if you're watching on our podcast later throughout the week or listening through our app or our podcast, we're so thankful for you and grateful that you're a part of our services. Hey, if you live in Clarksville, we'd love to have you in the room with us. There's room at our 8 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and also both of our North Clarksville campus locations. Love to have you join us in the facility as well. And you guys should know this, but we have a campus meeting at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas now, and we're so honored to come live into your guys' living room this week. And Fort Lewis, Washington will actually be delayed their launch by 2 weeks, so they will launch the first week of March. We're trying to go everywhere that that God is directing us and be ready with these micro sites, and so we're excited for that. We just found out there's a giant screen in the International Space Station, so we're going to try to get there too, you know what I'm saying? I think I'm kidding. Hey, make sure you keep your communion. I was kidding. Make sure you keep your communion elements with you to the end of the service. We're going to come to the Lord's table together at the end of our service. So we are wrapping up the book of Romans, everybody. We've been in Romans since last January, 2018. And today and the next Sunday is our final look at the book of Romans. And since you brought your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the last chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, I would encourage you, bring a Bible every week to church. I'm old school. I like a pen with my Bible, and I take notes all over it. And so bring you a paper Bible. But if not, you can pull it up on a digital platform as well. While you're turning there, I've titled the message, Headed in the Right Direction. How many of you would say, I want to be in a church that's headed in the right direction? I don't know anybody that would ever say, I'd love to go in the wrong direction. Like, how can I get in the church that's going off a cliff into peril? How can I be in a marriage that's heading the wrong direction? How can I get a job where everything about this place is falling apart and it's complete misery? That's where I want to work. Anybody? Right. All of us want to be headed in the right direction. Sometimes we don't know what it looks like to be headed in the right direction, but I think that's something that we all desire. We want our lives to be going in the right direction, and we should hope that for our church as well. Last Sunday, we got to share excitedly, share our annual report, and we saw the great things that God's doing here. It still just energizes me to think about what God has done in the last year. 600 plus people gave their lives to Jesus, lots that we were able to do to plant new churches and start works around the world. And since our time in 21 days of fasting, I've really been trying to focus with our team on evaluating every part of our culture, everything we do, what we're doing, why we're doing the things we're doing, and trying to make sure that we're doing the best we can as a church with who we are and what God's given us. How many of you know we're only responsible for what God's entrusted to us? And so we want to make sure that we are headed in the right direction as a church. And we're committed, as you saw last week, we're committed to not wasting resources, not doing things just because we've always done them that way. Can somebody say glory to God? Man, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of an organization that just keeps doing and recycling the same schedule because we've just always done it that way here. I'll tell you what, I actually confront that. I'll ask questions like, why do we do it this way? And whenever I hear, well, that's just how we've always done it, I just reject that. I go, well, that doesn't help me. That is not good enough for me. Could you imagine, like, still doing everything just the way you've always done it? Anybody else do the things you did when you were 9? No, you grow up and you mature and you do new things. I love to say the God who never changes is always up to something new, right? And I think in the church world, we should never be captive to an old calendar because we've always done it that way. Bless God. So we're going to stay fresh and keep going into purpose and headed in the right direction. So I've said to our team, you know, we want to be intentionally healthy as a church. We believe that God has a blessing that's special on this church, and we want to do all that we can to honor him and to lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. Actually, that's our mission statement. Our mission is to lead people, not programs or ministries or buildings. Our job is to lead people to be fully devoted to Jesus. Whether you're a non-believer, a new believer, you've been around Jesus for a long time, we got room to grow in our devotion to Christ. Can I hear a big amen? So that's what we're about. Everything that we're about is about that statement. That being said, we have a very simple system. We have a very simple strategy of how to do that. And let me just tell you, if you've never heard our vision, this is what it is. You can write it down. The first thing we want everybody in our church is to know God. None of those things matter if you don't know God. Anybody ever been to church with folks that don't seem to know God very well? It's like, why are you talking to me this way? Do you know Jesus? You've never been to a church like that. Great. We want to help everybody know God. And our primary focus to help you know God is through our Sunday experience, our weekend experience. So our whole Sunday is about helping you know God for the first time or help know God even better. How many of you know it ain't enough to just get saved? You got to get to know Jesus a little bit better. Amen? So we don't stop at you getting saved. We want to get you now looking like you're saved. Second thing we do here is we want to help people find freedom. God said it like this in the book of Exodus. He said, I'm going to save you out of Egypt, then I'm going to deliver Egypt out of you. Some of you got saved gloriously. Now you need to get set free. And that's the rest of our lives. So the way we help people find freedom is through our small groups. We call them our life groups here. And I've just said it unapologetically. I think the best thing we do as a church is not Sundays. That's the biggest thing we do. But the best thing we do is small groups. And I think every one of you needs to be a part of a small group, a life-giving life group to help you find freedom, help you work through some of the issues of your life. Again, we want to help you know God and then find freedom. Third thing we want you to do is discover your purpose. Why did God put you on this planet? We have a process we call our growth track. You're going to hear about that more before the end of this message. And I'm telling you, if you have not gone through our growth track series yet, I want to ask you to just give us 4 weeks to go through that, because we believe God built you with a purpose. He knows why he's designed you, and the things that you may have lived through might be part of the story that God uses to use you to change somebody else's life. And we want to see God redeem every bit of who you are for his purpose. And then finally, we want to help you make a difference in the lives of other people. Anybody else want to be a difference maker in this world? Come on, somebody. I'll ask that again in a minute when you guys get all a little bit more excited. I mean, it's only 11:45. Come on, folks. Anybody want to be a difference maker in this world? Anybody? So we help people start learning to make a difference in the lives of others by serving on a dream team. And the goal there is to help you learn to serve people in your church family so then you can learn to make a difference in the lives of people in your cul-de-sac, in your neighborhood, at your work. So that's our vision. We want to help you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. And we do that through our Sundays, our small groups, our growth track, and our dream team. That's the simple vision of this church. And listen, if you've never heard the vision of the church, please hear me when I say this. This is not that we want anything from you. It's that we want everything for you, that God wants for you. God wants you to know him. God wants you to find freedom from the stuff in your life. God wants you to discover that his hand and purpose and destiny is on your life. And God wants you to make a difference in the lives of others. How many of you know you're here because somebody made a difference in your life? And you get to carry that on. So honestly, I want what God wants for our church. I want to be about what God's about here. We want to be growing and healthy and have life change and transformation. It's not just for our Sunday gathering, though. This should be our everyday desire. I want your family to talk like this. I want our kids in our homes when we're having dinner together say, son or daughter, I'm praying that you discover your purpose and make a difference in school. Every day that I drop my daughter off for school now, I pray over her before I drop her off. And it's sometimes I remember it and I'm real spiritual, and sometimes I'm like, hey, don't get out yet. I forgot to pray. Get in here. Bow your head. I'm just being real, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, God, help them witness to Jesus. Help them love somebody today. Help them make a difference in their school. And I even pray that over. I pray that language over our family. God, help us know you better and discover why you've made us so we can make a difference in our schools, in our neighborhood, in our family. So it's not just what we want for you in this building. It's what we want for you as the followers of Christ who belong to this church. Amen? I'm going to ask for a lot of amens today. And if I got to give them to myself, I'm going to. Amen, Pastor? Amen, Pastor. Go ahead. Preach on. Boy, you better preach. I'm waiting on that one day. Somebody just stand up and say, boy, you better preach. That was your cue. No, it doesn't feel right now. Don't do it now. Just wait. You'll know. Now that said, what would it be like for us to be a church that's focused on those things again? Help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, make a difference. What would it look like for us to be a church that's headed in the right direction with this stuff, committed to a vision and a strategic plan towards God's plan? There are some things that Paul is affirming in the Roman church that I think we should have affirmed in us, that kept them headed in the right direction, kept them going towards being a healthy church. And he's wrapping up the letter now. Two sermons left, right, in Romans 16. He's wrapping up his letter to the Romans, and now he's going to affirm some of the right things. I don't know about you, but sometimes we just need a way to go, an attaboy, like you're doing it, keep going, keep heading in the right direction. And I feel like Paul wraps up his letter by just affirming them. You got to remember, the whole letter, it's full of great Christian theology, teachings on how to get along as Christians. Come on, somebody. We need to read Romans when we struggle with other church folk. Did you know part of the exercise of following Jesus is getting along with followers of Jesus? Some of y'all are in the third service because you can't handle some of them first service crowd. I call it splitting custody. You know what I'm saying? Like when y'all church folks are fighting, I'm like, hey, that's why we got multiple services, multiple locations. You don't have to give up on us because you gave up on them. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know we all going to the same heaven, just might take different buses to get there. Amen. Y'all in the LM15 bus. This is the fun bus. But Paul writes about that, how to get along with one another, bear one another's burdens, like just absorb offense. Quit walking around all mad and offended all the time. Quit being bitter. He talks about honoring people, be productive members of society, pay your bills and your taxes. There's a passion for the gospel in this letter, and there's a passion for people far from Christ. He opens the letter by saying, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. This is the power of God to save everybody. Then he wraps up his letter similar to how he starts it, with love. He got that sandwich technique down, man. Paul is good with, hey, I love you. Boom, here's some correction. And boom, I love you again. If you go back to the beginning of the letter, he says, I'm thankful for you. He starts with, I'm proud of you. I'm praying for you. He said, I long to see you. And if I can make it, I will. But I'm really committed to reaching people far from God. We heard Pastor Mark share a couple weeks ago. He had to go to Spain. He had to bypass Rome to get to Spain. So he starts the letter with love and encouragement, then fills the letter with great teachings and hard teachings and wraps it up with love and encouragement and shout outs. Now listen, you need to grab a pen for this message. This is a church that needed the tough stuff. You got to think about, this Roman church, this was the first church in Rome ever. So they needed some tweaking. And that's why he wrote this letter, was to tweak them a little bit. But then he just affirms them. And there's some things that he affirms in this church that I think God would affirm in us. And that's what I want us to look at as we look into Romans chapter 16. And the first thing is there is an empowered leadership culture at this church, at Rome. And I want to affirm that in us, Life Point. There's a leadership culture. We believe in developing leaders. In fact, one of our core values as a church is we develop leaders. We do it at every level of the church, whether you're on staff, you're a volunteer, or you're new to the church. Our growth track is designed to help develop leaders. How many of you know we got leaders at all levels of this church, whether they're leading the parking lot, the kids ministry, running cameras, they're leading in this church. And we believe in developing leaders and empowering leaders to lead. Now watch what he says here in verses 1 and 2. The words I give you in yellow, you should circle or highlight or just make note of. They have significance. Watch this. I commend to you. Now, this word commend is not like, hey, I commend you for that. Way to go. That's great. No. This is a commendation. This is Paul saying, I am handing over an assignment to you. I'm assigning to you. I'm commending to you. Look at what he says. I'm commending to you our sister, Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchreae, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and that you would help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been, circle this word, a patron of many and of myself as well. This is a very interesting opening text for Romans 16. This is so interesting. Now, got to remember, Paul is the founding pastor. He started these churches. He's the apostle over all the Roman Empire churches. And he's closing out a letter by telling them about a strong leadership decision that he has made for them. Now look at the language again. I want to talk about the big picture of what that means in a moment, but let's highlight a few specific things. First of all, looking at this text, this is a commendation, an assignment of leadership from the overseeing elder. And the church trusted Paul's leadership. I said this is a leadership empowering culture. Look at what he says. I commend to you. I am making this assignment. There's no committee here. There's no business meeting and a vote. There's no American Idol audition. There's no stack of resumes and a committee to decide who's going to be our leader. There's a leadership empowerment culture where Paul's saying, I'm making this decision. I'm sending a leader. I'm commending someone to you. And you know what that implies? That the church trusted his leadership decision. And there is an empowerment. Paul didn't have to beg them and plead with them and call a board meeting and get a vote. Man, I got to tell you, that relieves the fire out of me. There's no committee to have a new leader. Paul says, I'm just sending you one. And it tells us that there's a trust. I'm thankful that the New Testament structure of church governance allows spiritual leadership the privilege to lead. Romans chapter 12 actually talks about leadership within the body of Christ is a spiritual gift. There is no spiritual gift of committee. There's no spiritual gift of followership. Hear me when I say this. Listen, never, like, I don't understand in the American church why we've gotten into this idea that we have as a congregation the right to challenge and question every level of leadership. Some of y'all come into the parking lot and you refuse to go where the leaders are telling you to park. They're trying to save children's lives. And you're like, no thanks, I'm gonna park over here. Why are you challenging leadership? Like, let's just let the leaders lead you. And let's empower their leadership. Hey, thanks, yes, I'll park over here. Yeah, it's far in the rain. But man, these are first world problems. You ain't walking 4 hours in the, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, don't even get me started. Let the leaders lead your kid point check-in process. Why is this taking so long? Because security. Because we don't want kids dead or kidnapped or hurt. Like, just trust. There's a trust of empowerment. There's no committees in the New Testament church. Congregationally led churches, listen, are not headed in the right direction. Hear me when I say this. Our leadership structure, we want to be so biblically oriented. So here's the way we've structured our church. It's in our bylaws. It's in our membership class. When you go through Growth Track, you'll hear it. We are led by our pastoral elders, our leadership team. We are held accountable to a board of trustees, and they are strong leaders. They're great leaders, and they're congregation members who hold us accountable to the vision and all the finances and all that kind of stuff. So we're held accountable for leadership, and then we will overly communicate to the congregation. And I got to tell you, LifePoint, listen, I am so grateful that you are a church that empowers the leadership here at every level, whether it's in the parking lot, on the worship team. Like, aren't you glad you're not walking around here every time there's a change going, who decided this keyboard player should be playing today? What in the world's going on around here? Paul's like, man, look, there's a leadership culture here and it's healthy. Trust leadership. I've been here 8.5 years. I don't think we've done anything so stupid that it's killed anybody yet. You know what I'm saying? So let me just say thank you for being a church that wants to have empowered leadership at every level, on our dream team and our coaches and our staff. Pray for the leadership of your church to stay healthy in that way too. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Come on. That's great. We want a leadership-empowered culture. Now, the second thing I think is really worth noting here, and this is going to challenge some of you. And I'm okay with rubbing you a little bit the wrong way today, okay? Everybody say, I can take it. I think it's incredibly interesting that Paul, in as normal of a tone as possible, he is commending to them a female leader, a female into a leadership role. Now, listen, let's unpack the text, okay? Paul's saying, I am commending someone to you as a leader. This is a commendation, an assignment of leadership. And he said, I'm commending his sister, Phoebe. Now, she was a servant at the church of Cenchreae. Now, servant here in the original language, this is the word we get deacon. So she was a deacon at another church. She was a diakonos, a servant. That's what deacons do. They serve the church. They serve. That's what a lot of our teams do. Our dream teams are basically a bunch of deacons that are serving the people here, right? So she was a servant, a deacon at her last church, but this is now a promotion of leadership. Well, watch this. Paul's saying, I'm commending you to her to you as your leader, and I want you to welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. You know what, saints? We need to welcome the leadership in a way that doesn't discriminate or limit people based on gender, race, age, their economic status. He's saying there's a leadership commendation here, and I want you to accept her in a way worthy of the saints of God and help her out in any way that she would need help from you. Now watch, this is really interesting. She was a deacon in her last church. She's gonna be serving in a stronger leadership capacity with them. Now don't forget, Paul is still the pastor. He's the apostolic father of this house, but she is gonna serve this congregation in a very prominent way. Nowhere else in the letter to the Romans does he start appointing leadership at this level. But I think it's really interesting that Paul is appointing a female leadership. Why? Because female leadership was very rare in the ancient religious culture. By the way, it's very rare in our modern religious culture. But hear me on this. That is part of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul would write later in the letter to the Galatians, he said, in Christ, there's no longer a division between male and female, slave or free, Jew or Gentile. He just dealt with gender, economy, and race right there. And he goes, in Christ, those are all blurred lines. I don't care if you're black, white, old, rich, young, or poor, male or female. He said, we are one in Christ. And here's what the prophet Joel said, that it's because of this coming of Messiah that your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So it's incredibly interesting that Paul is affirming her so much as a leader. And then look what he does here. This is so clever. Watch what Paul does here in the language. He says, I'm commending to you Phoebe. Welcome her in the way worthy of the saints. You know what? It's not a worthy, saintly manner to go, hey, we appreciate you being here, but you can't lead us. You're a woman. You can't lead us. You're black. You can't lead us. You're not wealthy enough. You can't lead us. You're Hispanic. You can't lead us. You don't have enough education. That ain't worthy of the saints. How many of y'all got a little turned up when we had a little Espanol in the worship today? Some of y'all, yeah, some of y'all were looking hard at that screen like, what are these words I'm saying? Just receive the gift of tongues, y'all. Just receive it. Gloria a Dios. Oh, you better preach. Look, it's not worthy of the saints to limit a commendation of leadership that God has appointed because of your biases. Now watch what he said. This is so smart. She has been a patron. He doesn't say she had been a matron. Now wait a second. He says she's been a spiritual father to many. And then he goes, even me, myself included. I think it's so brilliant what Paul does here. He's not rallying with a bunch of ladies and having a women's lib movement at a courthouse steps. That's not what he's doing. Listen. And I'm not minimizing that. What Paul is actually doing is normalizing the place of leadership across the board. And he calls her a spiritual father. That's not a slip of the pen on the papyrus here. He didn't mean to say matron. He goes, she has been a patron to many and myself included. And I got to tell you, as a father with four daughters, I'm so encouraged to know that their gender, the gift of gender that God gave her, is not a disqualifying reality for her, their ability to be used by God. Now, one of the things I love about LifePoint Church is that women lead in all sorts of roles in our church. We want men and women empowered by the Spirit, equipped and commended to serve this church for the glory of Jesus. Now, some of you are challenged with that because of your traditions and how you grew up and the church background that you have. Can I just speak to that for a second? And these debates go for a very long time. And sometimes, here's where we debate. We debate in the minutia instead of resolving in the big pictures, right? Like, we get so stuck in like how we interpret one little verse instead of just reading the glorious gospel and the story of hope and the story of God's redemption. Like, the first person to ever tell the gospel Christ is alive was a female. Can I just challenge you with this? Listen. Don't let your traditions impact how you read Scripture. Rather, let Scripture impact how you view your traditions. And I just got to tell you, like, Jesus confronted religious people every time they let their traditions get in the way of what God was doing. There was a moment, he's doing ministry and he's doing life and people getting healed and they didn't wash their hands right before they ate. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a tradition of washing hands and up to the elbows and behind the ears and all this stuff and flick the water off so many times. And Jesus and his disciples didn't do it the right way. They probably like some of us with that little Purell garbage. Talking about it. Bring me some hummus. Now listen how Jesus responded to that. Because they said to him, they're like, why is it you think you're a man of God and your people don't even wash their hands the right way? Jesus says to them, you are willing to forsake the move of God for the sake of your traditions. He said, you're hearing but never understanding. You're seeing but never believing. I mean, they looked Jesus himself in the face and said, you're looking at the creator of the universe and you're questioning what I can do and through whom and how because of hand washing. You are nullifying the move of God for the sake of your traditions. Can I just challenge us that struggle with female leadership in ministry and female pastors? I mean, I love watching my wife's ministry gifts come alive. I love it. I'm so proud of that. I told my daughter this morning, I said, I want you to go as far and as big as God would ever call you and know that I will always stoke the flame behind you bigger than anybody else. Why would we ever want to limit what God wants to do and let our tradition be the reason that we say that? Well, I grew up in a church where they don't allow women pastors. Well, first of all, if you're here, you ain't in that church anymore. And you got to let the scripture inform your traditions. You can't say, well, that's not what I heard. And this is what I believe. Paul called her a spiritual father. That's powerful. I think what he's doing is just normalizing the role of women in ministry and in leadership. Man, I love third thing in this text. Y'all get anything out of this so far? The third thing in this text, he asks the church to trust his leadership and judgment in this appointment, in this commendation. He says, listen, welcome her and help her out in any way you can. Can I just ask you to be that kind of church? If we want to be a church headed in the right direction, help the teams any way you can. Don't confront when they don't park you in the place you want to park. Don't confront when they don't sing the songs you like to sing. Let's just be a church that goes, there's songs I don't even like. You know what I'm saying? But I don't care, because it's not about me. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. And it's about people coming to Christ. I don't speak a Spanish either, but it ain't about me. I can sing that song in Spanish because I think hallelujah is in every language. You know how you say it in English, hallelujah. How you say it in Spanish, aleluya. Y'all didn't know I was fluent like that, did you? He said, help her in any way you can. That's the attitude we want here. We welcome leadership. We want to trust leadership and trust that there's healthy leadership. And let's join in to be a part of helping the vision move forward here. Let's pray for our leadership. Let's serve our leadership. Let's be a part of leading well. Because people far from God still matter to Jesus, so they matter to us. I love that we develop leaders here. It's part of our culture. It's one of our core values. We develop leaders. That means we have a system and a process. And we think every one of you has ministry leadership potential and giftings. We want us to have a church that has a culture that says, yes, I will help in any way, in a way worthy of the saints, and in whatever is needed at my church. We love to develop leaders, and we'll talk about how to do that in just a moment. But the second part of this text is challenging. Do we want to be a difference maker? And I asked you at the beginning of the service, how many of you want to be a difference maker? Can I ask you one more time? How many of you say, I want to be a difference maker? Now, the follow-up question to that, and I don't want you to respond either raising your hand or wooing, how many of you are a difference maker? Because, see, I think a lot of us want to be things, and yet we don't actually do those things that we... Like, I want to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like 1978 Arnold, you know what I'm saying? In fact, on my Twitter handle, it says, father, Christ follower, pastor, want to be Arnold. But you know what I ain't going to do? Eat 18 pounds of chicken a day. I just ain't going to do it, man. I just know that about myself. So I want to be something, but I'm not actively becoming that thing. So I ask you, how many of you want to be a difference maker? And how many of you are being a difference maker? And I love that Paul takes a moment in the next passage, and he just calls out difference makers. He gives 29 shout outs. Now, some of you, this is a passage you would read through quickly. It's like the book of Numbers. You know what I'm saying? You ever get in the genealogies, and you're like, Lord Jesus, I'm about to lose my soul in the book of Numbers. That's one that I give you permission to scan. But watch what he does here. I love this. He's calling out difference makers. Look. So greet Prisca and Aquila. This is actually probably Priscilla, the same Priscilla and Aquila that we read about in the book of Acts. He says, these are my fellow workers in Christ. Look what he says about them. They risk their necks for my life. And to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles are thankful for them. Like every church Paul planted was because Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives for him so that he can continue doing ministry. Can you understand? Listen, we would not have the book of Romans if it weren't for Priscilla and Aquila. And so Paul's just taking a moment to give a shout out to difference makers. He goes, man, tell Priscilla and Aquila, I said, what's up? I'm still going. All the churches of the Gentiles are thankful to them. Also, greet also the church that meets in their house. Not only do they help save my life and take care of me, but they're church planters. They're keeping the ministry going forward. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Jesus in all of Asia. Man, that's an amazing shout out. He's saying hey, say what's up to Epaphroditus. I hope he's doing well. Fight the good fight, man. Keep reading your Bible. Do what it says. Have a prayer life. Greet Mary, who's worked so hard for you. He's writing to all these churches throughout the Roman Empire, and now he's name dropping folks. Hey, tell Mary I said, good job. Keep it up. None of these people got last names, apparently, by the way. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen. These are my folk, my cousins. And they're my fellow prisoners. Watch this. They are well known to all the apostles. Could you imagine being on all 13 or 12 apostles' radar when they all meet in the Jerusalem council and James is like, hey, Paul, whatever happened to Junia and Andronicus? Man, they in prison again. For real? What they in jail this time for? preaching more. Man, I mean, just being on the radar of those leaders is incredible. And they were in Christ before me, Paul says. These are my spiritual parents. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Man, that's my homie right there, Ampliatus. Do y'all not read your Bible like this? Y'all need to turn on some 90s Keith Sweat and read your Bible a little slower. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. My beloved Stachys, he's the UFC fighter. Stachys. Greet Apelles, who's approved in Christ. I am so grateful that he takes a moment to say, hey, tell Apelles, don't let him forget, God loves you. God's approval is on your life. I don't know what your family may have dissed you, hated you, said you're not enough. Remind Apelles, God is for you. That's awesome. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian, my other cousin. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. You remember the Greek god Narcissus who couldn't stop staring at his face in the mirror? Now, there's a whole bunch of Narcissan pagans who have come to faith in Jesus. And he's like, tell all them dang former narcissists. I said, what's up? Greet the workers in the land. These are twins, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Y'all, some of y'all got that. You just didn't even. Greet the beloved Persis who has worked hard in the Lord. Here's Uncle Rufus. Look at this. Greet Rufus. Chosen in the Lord. Oh, I love this. Look at this. Y'all, this is how Paul's right. Man, can you just imagine him pinning this letter? He's like, who else do I want to give a shout out to? Oh, freaking Rufus. You crazy old Rufus, my man. Chosen in Christ. And tell his mom what's up, because she was like a mother to me too. Tell his mama that cornbread was so good when I came to their house. She left a toothbrush by my bed. She was the bomb. And I love Rufus's mama. Remember like Mark Wahlberg, how's your mother? You know? Rufus. Greet Asyncritus. Sounds like a disease, don't it? Like, man, what's wrong with you? I got Asyncritus, dude. It's terrible. Woo! I'm limping all over the place. Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus. Keep your mind right, people. Come on now. Hermas, that's his brother Hermes and Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, that's my daughter, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus. Now look at what it says. And greet all the saints. All the saints who are with them. I just love that he starts real specific with some names and stories, but then he's like, you know what, just tell the whole church. I said, what's up? Tell them all I love them. Greet the whole church, because they're heading in the right direction. They're not perfect. They don't have everything figured out. They're heading in the right direction. Watch this. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Come on now. How many of y'all want to read your Bible and do what it says? Come here, Steph. Let's show them how to do it. She left the room. It's messed up. Now look, some of y'all don't know what to do with this text. There's some of y'all that are a little fresh. Can I just say that was contextually an appropriate greeting? But you ain't got to kiss me. If I don't know, you don't do it. I'm going to stab you. The new holy kiss is the bro hug. You know what I'm saying? Like the what's up, man? Pull it in. That's a holy kiss. Don't be kissing me. Especially like back here. I'll put you in the face. His point is to say, greet each other with a fond affection. And greet all the churches of Christ. Greet you. Man, I love this. Some people skip over lists like this. But I think this list is amazing. Notice that everyone on this list gets an honorable mention. There ain't nobody on this list that he's disciplining, that he's calling out for drama, discord, dissension, being divisive. Ain't none of these people trying to split the church, causing problems, trying to call for a vote, a vote for affirmation for the pastor, fighting the culture. He don't give no shout outs to anybody who's lying or faking their Christianity. Ain't no hypocrites on this list. Ain't nobody on there that them Facebook fighters. None of them are on the list. But he gave shout outs to people for being a church headed in the right direction. They're generous. They're good leaders. They're serving the vision. They're going in the right direction. They're not perfect, but they're going the right way. I read this list and listen, Life Point. I wonder, what does my life have to look like to get a shout out in the Bible? Like, how committed to God do I need to be to get a shout out from the Apostle Paul that's been in the Bible ever since? That's the kind of life I want to live. Not that I'm doing it for man's praise, but I want God himself to say, way to go, man, I see what you're doing. Keep it up. You're going in the right direction. What does it look like for us to be a church that's serving well and treating people well and working hard for Jesus, helping new converts, being spiritual fathers, being generous? Recently, we had the Grammys, right? And one of the most common things to do when you receive a Grammy is immediately thank God, which sometimes, depending on the song, is a little weird. Come on, thong song did not need a shout out to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like Cisco's like, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus. I'm sure Jesus is like, I didn't even put that on my playlist, dude. I don't even know. I don't want to see that thong. Somehow I need to Google that. No, don't Google it, actually. I didn't even know if that joke was appropriate or not. I considered not putting it in the manuscript, but there I did it anyway. But when you win a Grammy, you always thank God. And then what? They go through a long list of everybody they want to thank. Why? Because we all realize we don't make this thing on our own. We don't do this on our own. We run this play together. Listen to me, Life Point. If we're going to be a church that's headed in the right direction, we have to be a church that does it all together. We have to be a church. Look at what he said. All the saints. Give a shout out to all of them. What, without digging too deep into these 20-something names, realize that it takes all of us to be a difference maker, being part of what God is doing and called us to do in order to be the church he's called us to be. If we are going to be a church that's headed in the right direction, we have to be a church doing it together. If we want to keep reaching Clarksville, Montgomery County, Middle Tennessee, listen, we've got to be a church that does it together. None of these names were mentioned for people who sat on the sidelines. None of these names were people that Paul thanked for refusing to do their part. All of these names were difference makers who left their seat and got on their feet, who left being consumers and became contributors, became difference makers by being a part of the big picture for the Roman churches. Can I just tell you, church, that's what we want for you, to become a difference maker. How do we get there? It's part of our vision. We try to make it as simple as possible and roll it out for you. We want this to be an all play for our church. And so remember how we started the message. I said our vision is simple. We want to help you know God through our Sundays. We want to help you find freedom through our groups. We want to help you discover your purpose and make a difference. And we do that through our Growth Track class, which we offer during our second, third, and soon our fourth services in the building during service. Leave your kids in Kid Point. And we do it by helping people make a difference by serving on our team. Look again at verse 15 and 16. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who were with them. I just think there's something really intentional Paul did to elevate the role of all the saints in the church. He said, it's not just these 28 people, it's all of you. It's all of you. I can't name all of you because you're all playing. You're all doing it. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the churches of Christ are greeting you too. There's something so special that Paul's doing here. He's listing many people, but then he's calling everybody to the same. You ever heard that term, a rising tide lifts all boats? Can I just tell you, there's a special thing happening in the tide of this church, and I want to ask everybody to let God raise you up with it. Let God raise you up with what he's doing here. He makes this last part of this passage about everyone who's a part of the church, and it's brilliant. He uses the language, and all the saints. It's like when a coach has a big win at the end of a football game or season, and they interview the coach on the field, and they say, Coach, how was this season special for you? Who do you want to thank? And the coach always starts with, you know, I'm thankful for my spouse, and I'm thankful for our players, our quarterbacks, our linemen, our tight ends, our running backs. He's like, thankful for the coaching staff, but we know that we can't do it if it weren't for all of the fans. There's something about everybody realizing they're a part of this thing. And God hasn't called the church to be run by a bunch of lone rangers, a bunch of isolated power mongers who don't have any accountability. Let me tell you something. You are as much a part of this church as I am. You are as much a part of the story of this church as I am. You and I are all together collectively a part of a church headed in the right direction. Listen, we literally cannot do all that God wants us to do until all of us do the part that God is calling us to play. Now think about that. We've given into this lie that 20% of the people will do 100% of the work. That's a lie. That's lazy. That's not what God intended. I am purely convinced we will never do all that God wants us to do until all of us do the part that God wants us to do. So here's the thing. There's a place for every one of you at this church. There's a place for all of you to collectively be a church headed in the right direction. And I believe you matter. You make a difference. You may be here on your first Sunday. And here, let me encourage you. You don't have to wait very long. There is a place for you here. You matter. You make a difference. We literally can't do it without you. Can you imagine being a church where everyone realized that their part matters? Can you imagine being a church where everyone participated, where every person discovered their purpose, where every person gave the way God calls us to, where every person served in their gifts and their ministry platforms? Pardon me for dreaming here, but I just feel like it's God's desire and plan for us. All the saints get a mention and a shout out. Listen, because all the saints matter. Every one of you is a 10 at something. Every one of you is good at something that I'm not good at. Every one of you is a 10 at something. You're outstanding at some area of ministry, and God brought you here to let your gifts be a part of making us better. You have a ministry here. You have a gift for this church. Your tithing, your generosity, your serving, every bit of that is a part of God's plan for LifePoint. So what if we became an all the saints type of church? I mean, the book of, Old Testament, there's a moment where Moses is building the temple. Is that Exodus? Probably is. Moses is building the temple, and he comes to the people, and he's like, we got to collect offerings. And they got so motivated to build the house that they gave beyond what they needed. And Moses got to come back to the people and go, hey, withhold your giving. We have enough. Can I just dare you to be the second church in the history of God's people to make me come back and say, hey, LifePoint, we have enough volunteers. We have no more projects to do in town. All the hungry are fed. All the naked are clothed. All the bushes have been trimmed everywhere in town. Thank you for serving so much. You are in all this. We don't need any more money. We've paid off our debts. We paid new campuses. We don't have anywhere else to put campuses. All the city is reached. Could you imagine us being an all the saints type of church? I dare you. I double dog dare you. Say I won't. I triple dog dare you to become an all the saints type of church. Here's how we do it. Every week, we get into a system that's called our growth track. And we're tweaking it, we're evolving it all the time to make it better and faster and leaner and cleaner. And we're going to do it in every service. And ultimately, but we want to help you discover and begin developing leaders. So we believe that every person who serves on our team is a leader. It doesn't matter if you're parking cars, rocking babies, leading on the worship team, or preaching. Everyone in our church is a leader that serves on our team. So our growth track is a four-week class designed to help you discover God's unique design and connect you to a team where you can join in. And let me just tell you, if you've not gone through our growth streak, here's the way I want to offer it to you. Give me 4 weeks of your life to go through growth track. 4 Sundays, that's all I'm asking. And then give God 1 year of your life to serve on a team. And go all in with God. Say, I'm gonna become a giver. I'm gonna become a servant. I'm gonna find my purpose and make a difference. Give us 4 weeks to take you through the growth track and give God 1 year. And I promise you, listen, I'm telling you, God will change your life. Can everyone on a dream team shout amen? Just give me 4 weeks to help you discover what God's put in you. Then give God 1 year to serve his church. And let God show you how you are a part of his plan to make a difference in others. Let me challenge you. What if we become a church like Paul is admonishing at the end of Romans? We become a church that's all in, all together, empowering leadership, affirming people in leadership, no matter what your race or gender or economic status. What if we became a church that was all in? We want to be headed towards Jesus. Now listen, you can't bring your baggage and your sin to the cross and think God's gonna be like, hey, that's okay. No. What we do is we give him our lives and he wrecks it. And he'll use all your baggage and your brokenness and he'll tweak it and turn it around for his glory. But we're not gonna limit people because of the way they look or are or the status of their economy. What if we became a church that said we wanna be a church full of difference makers? And we went all in with the system of getting on a team, discovering our purpose, and making a difference. You don't see Lone Rangers in the New Testament. We need to do this. We want to become an all the saints type of church. Can I hear a big amen, everybody?